And this is truly so obvious, that alone, the fact that we never discuss that is evidence of the fact that we are locked up tight in a cage and gots to fight hard right now to not pass this on a minute further, now that we have the hard work of Nikola Tesla et al. To allow us instantaneous communication globally. Now that we have the means, we have the responsibility. Continuing with chapter 16 of Margaret Cheney's Tesla Man Out of Time. The naval hero, Lieutenant Richmond Pearson Hobson, who Nikola met when he was 37, around 1893, and who was apparently sent on mysterious missions during the Spanish-American War, which, recall, was launched almost simultaneously with Nikola's stunning Madison Square Garden demonstration of robotics in 1898. The timing here, too, I suspect, is significant. Continuing, the naval hero reported that there had been a fight within the Navy. You suppose that was something they thought up over coffee one morning, or maybe he was given the executive, he was given the authority to make something up on his own, and it was like a little fantasy on his part, him being creative. I think they give a lot of these guys as their reward for their hard work, the ability to get movies made in Hollywood or something. Wonder what happened to this guy. Somebody, please, do a investigation of the life of Lieutenant Richmond Pearson Hobson. Or do you suppose he met with an early death? Power tidying up loose ends. Anyway, the naval hero reported that there'd been a fight within the Navy about Tesla's wireless exhibits, a feud not, of course, related directly to his inventions, oh no, 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 but rather something ongoing between two high officers, nothing to do with you, Nikola, resulting in the rejection of Nikola's entry. It's possible that Hobson was skewing the situation to avoid hurting his friend's feelings. Or it's possible that Nikola was getting snowed in a much more nasty, hideous way that was eventually going to result in a level of death that we have not seen and hopefully will not see again. Let's get busy. Tesla then went to Thomas Fortune Ryan and succeeded in raising a little supplemental funding, but it all went into paying off existing creditors, whose bills were beginning to tower like Warden Cliff itself. He didn't need patient, observant George Scherf to tell him where the trouble lay. "My enemies have been so successful in representing me as a poet and visionary," he said, "that it's absolutely imperative for me to put out something commercial without delay." And I comment, my guess is, knowing Power's insistence on obsession with infiltration, it wasn't his enemies he needed to worry about. It was his friends. Continuing, in the years ahead, Nikola Tesla would repeatedly stagger forth from avalanches of debt to strike out anew on some practical scheme for commercializing his inventions. Whether he was less fortunate as an independent than his old foe Edison, it would have been hard to say, but certainly their lives were following different paths. Edison, in his late 50s, was wealthy but ill with a variety of afflictions, including mysterious lumps in his stomach that had appeared during his X-ray research. They finally vanished. Disappointed in his ore ventures, increasingly deaf, he had withdrawn from emotional contact with family and friends. He'd gone into semi-retirement, was old before his time. All of this is very suggestive, but water under the bridge, I suppose. And not only could and not only could afford, but felt obliged to hire a full-time bodyguard for himself and his household. Such were the stigmata of success, or something else. We will probably never know. There was a growing interest in the medical profession. Wonder how that happened. In Tesla's therapeutic oscillator, a small Tesla coil. Doctors and professors phoned from all over the country, saying they were constantly receiving inquiries for such high-frequency apparatus. That has power manipulation written all over it, one of their little schemes. They love to coordinate these mass attacks of interest in things. Can we all say fake news? Anyway, they phoned from all over the country saying they were constantly receiving inquiries for such high-frequency apparatus. Amazing. Scherf told Tesla he could easily start a thriving business in medical apparatus with a crew of 30 men and an investment of $25,000. He predicted a rapid profit of $125,000, almost as much as Morgan's total investment in Wardenclyffe. The inventor told him to go ahead with such work at Wardenclyffe, but did not himself seem much interested in. Got to pause here and say, let's have a little brief reality check. This was a man who had just invented a method for the wireless transmission of electrical power. Knowledge that will end necessity in the human story once we get past these power guys. 10,000 of them, 7 billion of us. Let's organize. Our freedom is waiting for us, and the freedom of all of our progeny, all who come after, is waiting on us, depending on us. Knowledge that will end necessity in the human story, and in conjunction with it, a weapon that ends war because it is definitive and so thought-provoking that it unites the people globally, particularly in the light of his entire group of inventions, including the ability to bring rain where it's needed, that end the practice of commodifying human energy. To this man, present the prospect of devoting his precious gifts to marketing therapeutic oscillators. This whole scene Margaret is describing from end to out and bottom to top is every sides and ways wrong. Continuing, Tesla was not much interested in marketing therapeutic oscillators. Instead, he issued two handsome brochures, one describing the world system of communication and another expensively printed on vellum that announced his entry into the field of consulting engineering. Next week, we'll continue our reading of Chapter 16, Ridiculed, Condemned, Combated, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.